The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday in the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. Yeah, there's nowhere to go from there, right?
No, I don't plan to go from there, Howard, absolutely. I think we're going to just start from a completely different place.
All right, but equally as scary is the Hezbollah tunnels. UN Security Council due to meet in the next few days to discuss the tunnels that were now discovered dug under the border with Lebanon. We spoke about this yesterday. They were, they reached well into Israel. What has been the international reaction to this discovery?
Quite surprising, I think, is the way that I would describe it, because out of all the countries in the world, it seems as if they were even getting a little bit of support from Russia, where the Russians have expressed some quite reserved but nonetheless clear support for Israel on this issue of the tunnels that have been discovered. And in fact, there's been quite some much more vocal support, clear support from the likes of the government of Germany and the UK government, who both, through their various representatives in Israel, expressed their outrage at what they've considered to be a clear violation of Israeli sovereignty, Israeli territory, and have really been critical of Hezbollah. So even though we do expect that this will go to the United Nations Security Council, and there may well even be a condemnation if Russia is supporting Israel's point of view on this, then it seems that there's not going to be any attempt to veto the resolution from the Russians. Not quite sure what all of the others will be saying, but it seems as if though this may well pass through the UN Security Council as a resolution in support of Israel, and as has been previously stated, is a clear violation of the UN Security Council Resolution 1701 from back in 2006, which called for southern Lebanon to be free of foreign forces, and that was defined as the area between the Litani River in Lebanon right to the border with Israel. That clearly has been violated on numerous occasions. I mean, an ongoing violation. This is just no surprise. And in fact, we've got this United Nations force, UNIFIL, that's been stationed in that southern Lebanese area along the border with Israel already for quite some time. There was even a scheduled meeting with the UNIFIL commanders at which this whole issue of the tunnels was discussed. It seems like nobody's really surprised. I mean, UNIFIL's been, around already for quite some time. They've had their troops on that border guarding what should be, the Security Council resolution. That's their job to implement the resolution. They've failed to do so, on an ongoing basis. They've been around since, I think, 1978. So, they've been around long enough to understand what's going on there. So the scheduled meeting didn't really raise any surprises for anybody, even though, of course, it was Israel's obligation, and the IDF in particular, who have the regular meetings with UNIFIL, to raise this.
Right.
The Russian embassy tweet was quite an interesting one. This is the embassy in Tel Aviv that tweeted saying, "No doubt that Israel has the right to protect its national security, including to prevent the illegal entry of anyone into the country." So that was the way that the Russians decided to hit this one face, head first, to support Israel. But yeah, I fear that the support of the international community, unfortunately, is not going to be enough. Clearly, the IDF has to, take the lead in making sure that they do what needs to be done. There was another report saying that Israel has been developing this new laser missile defense system, and that as a result of what's been discovered on the northern border, there's been something of an acceleration in the development of the system. And it's going to be interesting for us to see what all of this means. You know, that it's incredible to think that a laser beam could be the next most important protection system for the state of Israel. We know that there has been an attempt to develop a laser system in order to try to combat the very, very, very short-range missiles that have been lobbed over the border, particularly in Gaza.
Right.
and for which, unfortunately, the Iron Dome has not been a good enough response. So they've been developing this laser system, which I believe will be like a laser beam along the border, and that anything that breaks the beam will effectively somehow be destroyed by this laser. It'll be interesting to see exactly how it works. Apparently, the lasers are super powerful ones, and this is being developed internally by Israel's Rafael Advanced Defense Systems, a company that's also developed a number of other military systems. But clearly, this is also something that may well be deployed on the northern border. So I think Israelis have woken up to the fact that, you know, their threat is not exclusively from Gaza and from the south. But in fact, you know, there is a huge threat, maybe probably even a much larger threat from the north. And the discovery of these tunnels, even though I think a lot of people had an inkling that this was happening anyway, I think has come nonetheless as a surprise and an unpleasant surprise to many Israelis, particularly those who are living on the northern border. Right. You know, the international community seems to be supporting. But we're going to need a lot more than that in order to keep the northern border safe.
So a couple of questions for you on this. Some of the reports that I'm reading gives me the impression that it's all very, very amicable, that nobody wants to escalate this into something out, something that they can't pull back on. One gets the sense that even Israel and Lebanon or Israel and Hezbollah are having these very dignified conversations and saying, okay, we're going to destroy the tunnels on our side of the border, but don't worry, we're not going into Lebanon. Am I reading this correctly? Is this very, does this seem to be a gentleman's discussion or confrontation?
Well, what you're saying is indeed correct and very interesting. And it even goes as far as the Lebanese Prime Minister, Saad Hariri, who is on record saying that the Prime Minister designate, I'm not sure if he's actually the Prime Minister, but he's certainly fulfilling the role as the Prime Minister. But he actually said yesterday that Israel's operations to destroy the Hezbollah terror tunnels should not lead to any escalation. So he's not seeing any involvement from, at least from what's going on now, of the Lebanese army, even though we understand that quite large numbers of forces from the Lebanese army have been moved to the southern area. But, you know, the whole lie of the political landscape in Lebanon is very interesting, because Hezbollah not only is a military force and not only has huge control over that southern Lebanon area at the expense of the Lebanese government and the Lebanese army, but indeed Hezbollah has also become a political entity in Lebanon and has stood for parliament in Lebanon and has quite wide support. So the Lebanese government and the Lebanese prime minister has to play a very, very gentle game in terms of how they confront Hezbollah. Whether they would be confrontational with Hezbollah about this is highly doubtful. They wouldn't want to confront Israel either. So the Lebanese government is treading a very, very careful path. And you're right. I mean, the Israeli government is also being very careful not to go over the border, because the moment they start acting beyond Israel's borders, then that does represent something of a threat and something of an escalation. So I think you're right. I mean, on the one hand, the Israeli government is trying to bring to the world's attention what's going on, bring to the Israeli public's attention what's going on, to destroy anything that is, let's say, within Israeli territory, but being very careful not to go beyond that. And in fairness, if we were really to do the proper job that's required here in order to protect Israel, we would really need to go beyond the Israel's borders in order to destroy what's going on there. But it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, at least for now.
And we know before, and you and I have discussed this, that Israel seems to have reached this agreement with Russia that Iran or Hezbollah won't be anywhere within a certain area of southern Syria. Now, this obviously is Lebanon. Is there any comparable agreement with Russia in this regard, or is it just relying on the international agreement that you referred to earlier?
So it seems as if, though, the Russians are being very, very cautious to keep their involvement, whatever involvement they have, in Syria and not to cross the border over to Lebanon. Because obviously that becomes a much more convoluted situation with the Lebanese government in particular. But what we do know, of course, is that through Russia's support of Iran, Russia therefore also has an involvement in supporting Hezbollah. They don't do it openly and they don't do it in Lebanon. They do it via their Iranian contacts But they're very, very cautious at the moment not to get involved in anything that's going on in Lebanon, because that immediately would involve the Lebanese government. And I think that it's already complicated enough with Russia's involvement with the Syrian government and with the Iranian government to get involved with the Lebanese government as well. And it's not clear that the Lebanese government would necessarily support, welcome Russia's involvement in Lebanon at all. So all of Russia's involvement in Lebanon seems to go at the moment via Iran, and the Russians are staying clear of that whole Lebanese area.
And Nathan's saying, fortuitous timing for Israel regarding a Gaza ceasefire, having launched this operation on the Lebanon border. I would imagine it wasn't fortuitous. I would imagine that's why Israel needed the ceasefire, if there was this inkling that this was going on at the north. What do you think?
That's certainly been what some of the newspaper articles are saying, is that the situation that was going on in the north was already known at the time of the sudden outbreak of hostilities with Hamas a few weeks ago. And that at that meeting, the cabinet meeting, that was highly controversial, and where we discussed this as well, where it was felt that some of the ministers were really not in favor of the ceasefire, and this is ultimately what led to the resignation of former Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman. But we also mentioned the fact that no vote was called, and that if those ministers really were opposed to the ceasefire and they felt that there was a majority at the cabinet meeting, they would have called for a formal vote to show the Prime Minister that this is not the will of the cabinet. But no vote was called, and it was just taken that a ceasefire would be implemented because that's what the Prime Minister wanted. And I suspect that what we're seeing now, the events of the Northern Shield activity on the northern border, were playing on the minds of most of those cabinet members. We are told that the situation with the tunnels of under the border in the north, dug by Hezbollah, was actually discussed at the cabinet meeting, at that same meeting where the ceasefire was ultimately agreed, in inverted commas. So clearly it was on people's minds at that time, and I suspect that this is probably the strongest motivation for the declaration of the ceasefire with Hamas at that moment.
We don't have a lot of time. We've got only 2 minutes, but can you just tell us very quickly, an application was filed with the Israel High Court to prevent the transfer of the $150 million to Hamas in Gaza. What's the source of this money?
So this is, again, Qatari money, and we'll recall that there was $15 million that was apparently given to Hamas from Qatar, went with Israel's approval and agreement in suitcases over to the Gaza Strip, and which happened, I think, the day or two before the sudden outbreak of hostilities that we just discussed. And a lot of the press were then wondering why it was that the Israeli government would agree to this money being transferred to Hamas from Qatar, and in particular why the Israeli government would agree to it. Now there's another installment of Qatari money, $150 million this time. And in fact, the Israeli government, as far as I can tell, has actually agreed to this money going over to Hamas. On the basis that apparently it'll pay salaries and it'll, is supposed to be destined for positive causes rather than for negative causes. Nobody really knows where it ends up. But two things are very interesting. The first of which is that there's been this application filed in the High Court by the organization called Shirat HaDin, which requested the High Court to block the transfer of the money to Hamas. But more than that, it's now transpired that the Palestinian Authority, which has been asked to facilitate the transfer of the money via, I think, bank accounts that are controlled by the Palestinian Authority, has refused to cooperate. So it's now not only the Israelis who are opposing the transfer of the money, but indeed it's Mahmoud Abbas's Palestinian Authority that is saying that they are also going to block the transfer of this money. So as things stand at the moment, I think the money has not gone through yet. And on the basis of what we're seeing at the moment, it's unlikely to go through in the near future. So lots of Palestinian politics being played here.
Very interesting indeed. It is 8 o'clock. This is Where We Love and Leave You. Anthony Reich bringing us the Israel Report. It is Thursday, which means we'll be back with Anthony on Monday. Anthony, you have a fantastic weekend. Shabbat shalom. And we'll catch you on the other side.